Well, hey, again, we're glad that you're here. We are in the process of working our way through the Gospel of John. Big title, so that we might believe. So that we might come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing in him, we might have life by the power of his name. Well, we've actually taken that theme and we've moved it into what I would call a sub-series that I've just simply titled Journeying to the Cross. And so a couple weeks ago, we began this intensive look at Jesus' last week. That moment, those moments in time where Jesus is laying it all on the line and he is doing what he came to do. When we left off last week, Jesus had appeared before Annas, the high priest, actually kind of the pseudo high priest because he was the high priest's father, and Caiaphas, the actual high priest, and Jesus had just been brought before Pilate to be confronted because the Jewish leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus and they were going to do anything in their power to get rid of him. And so last week, when we left off, Pilate had just said to the Jewish leaders and the crowds that you have the opportunity, I have the opportunity to let Jesus go. But according to our custom, we can let a prisoner go. We can let someone go. And of course, he was really hoping that they would say Jesus, because Pilate didn't want to be in this situation because he ultimately finds Jesus not guilty, and so he's hoping to let Jesus go, and the crowd screams Barabbas, who was a revolutionary. They wanted Barabbas to be let go. Well, now Pilate has to kind of recollect himself, and in this dialogue that we're going to look at today, we're actually going to watch it on video, which we've been doing the last couple weeks, from a video just called the Gospel of John. We see this interaction between Pilate, like with the Jewish leaders and then Jesus. Jewish leaders and Jesus. And he's going back and forth trying to discern what to do. And it's in the midst of this, as we look at this character today, Pilate, my premise to you is this, that there's a little bit of Pilate in us all. There's a little bit of Pilate in us all. And my guess is by the time we get done with the message today, you might be able to say, yes, there is, but gosh, we don't want there to be. So we're going to look at this person, Pilate. Actually, we're going to look at who he is. We're going to look at the pressure that he faced. We're going to look at the predicament that he's in. And then we're going to look at the price that he ultimately pays. So who is Pilate? We know historically that he was the procurator of Judea, procurator of Judah. In other words, today we would say that he's the governor. He held this position from AD 26 to AD 36. So he had a good 10-year track record of serving as a leader. Reported directly to and appointed by the Emperor Tiberius. As a Roman prefect, Pilate was granted the power of a supreme judge. He had the sole authority to order a criminal's execution. His duties included tax collection and managing construction projects. His most crucial responsibility was that of maintaining law and order by any means necessary. From AD 26 to about AD 180, there was an idea that was referred to as Pax Roma, or the Peace of Rome. And it was these governors and these leaders' job to maintain at any cost this peace of Rome. It was the tremendous time of building and construction, and Rome was in a sense exploding with development, and it was the idea, how do we just maintain this peace throughout the empire? Well, Pilate, by reputation, what he couldn't negotiate, it is said that he accomplished through brutal force. Well, at this point in our narrative, at this point in the story, Pilate is under a lot of pressure. Because the Jewish leaders, they want Jesus gone at any cost. They want Jesus out of the picture because he is confronting and challenging their authority, their power, their way of doing things. What we've discovered over the last few weeks is that it wasn't the Jewish people that had a problem with Jesus. As a matter of fact, we see lots of them coming to faith in Jesus. But the Jewish leaders who were challenged by Jesus wanted to do anything and everything possible to get rid of him. And so Pilate decides to have Jesus flogged and beaten. Not a normal process of crucifixion. But Pilate did this with the intention, scholars believe, that it would appease the Jewish leaders, that he could have Jesus flogged, he could have him beaten, and then they'd be able to let Jesus go. We know historically that they used something like this. Now, this is probably a little bit shorter than what it was. This was the tool, the instrument of cruelty and punishment. It was a whip, and on the end of the whip were pieces of metal, and they'd also put pieces of bone. And it was the whippers, that person's job, to try to inflict the greatest possible damage on the person that they were flogging their flesh. The way these were designed was such that it actually would go across the back and then could whip out and pull the flesh off the back. It was torture. And then with Jesus, the guards decided as well to make fun of his kingdom. And they placed a crown of thorns on his head. Let's pick up the story.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped. The soldiers made a crown out of thorny branches and put it on his head. Then they put a purple robe on him and came to him and said, "Long live the King of the Jews." And they went up and slapped him. Pilate went back out once more and said to the crowd,
"Look, I will bring him out here to you to let you see that I cannot find any reason to condemn him. Look, here is the man."
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
"Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Crucify him!
You take him then and crucify him. I find no reason to condemn him."
"We have a law that says he ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. He went back into the palace and asked Jesus,
"Where do you come from?"
But Jesus did not answer.
"You will not speak to me. Remember, I have the authority to set you free and also to have you crucified."
"You have authority over me. Only because it was given to you by God. So the man who handed me over to you is guilty of a worse sin."
When Pilate heard this, he tried to find a way to set Jesus free.
"If you set him free, that means you are not the emperor's friend."
"Anyone who claims to be a king is a rebel against the emperor."
Pilate heard these words, he took Jesus outside and sat down on the judge's seat in the place called the stone pavement. In Hebrew, the name is Gabbatha. It was then almost noon of the day before the Passover. Pilate said to the people,
"Here is your king."
Kill him.
Do you want me to crucify your king?
The only king we have is the emperor.
Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified.
There's just something about watching it visually that connects with us, I think, that sometimes when we read the story, it almost is anesthetized, you know, that we don't really kind of get into the story. It's one of the reasons why I've wanted to show you this video each time as we work our way through the scriptures. Jenny and I were talking this week about Pilate a little bit, and we're both of this position of, you kind of feel sorry for the guy, maybe. I mean, he was in a predicament. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus out of the picture, and yet at the same time, Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with him. Yes, the Jewish leader said that Jesus said that he was a son of God. Now, we see in the video and the text tells us that made Pilate frightened, because actually in the first century there was this kind of belief that often gods would kind of inhabit human beings. And so there was this sense of fear that he had that maybe Jesus was one of them. But what they were, Jewish leaders, were accusing Jesus of ultimately, they had no basis for the crucifixion, for killing Jesus. So as you saw, they tried flogging him. They tried to get rid of him, tried to just pacify him. Again, Pilate, you got to feel sorry for him in a sense. His back is against the wall. And so I wonder, for you and I, at moments and seasons of our lives when pressures are on, what do we do when we're backed into a corner? What do we do when the heat is on? What do we do when the right choice might not be the popular choice? What do we do when we don't want to do anything, but we have to do something? Well, that's Pilate. He has to do something. You see, he is in this predicament. He is in this difficult situation that his job was to maintain law and order in his territory. His job was to keep the Jews and the Jewish leaders pacified and quiet so the peace of Rome could exist, so that there just wouldn't be any problems. And here we have the Jewish leaders bringing Jesus before Pilate. He's already been a subject of a mock trial before the high priest. And now Pilate has to do something. He has his back against the wall. He is in a predicament. What is he going to do? We place ourselves in predicaments all the time. And it's easy to identify with Pilate. Sometimes we place ourselves in a predicament because, like Pilate, we journey to a place of compromise. You know what compromise is, don't you? Sometimes compromise can be really good, but oftentimes compromise is just simply lowering our standards. In this narrative, Pilate goes back and forth from inside with Jesus to outside with the leaders, inside with Jesus, outside with the leaders, inside with Jesus, outside with the leaders. He goes back and forth. And I think that was his journey to figuring out how could he compromise. But again, he found Jesus not guilty. And like us, we often, I think, journey into these places of compromise, maybe doing what we really don't want to do, but we feel like we've put ourselves into this situation where the best choice is a compromise. In this predicament, we also see him moving to this journey, this place of collusion. You saw it, didn't you? It was the religious leaders who were whispering these things to Jesus. See, Pilate was in collusion with these religious leaders because, again, they had to maintain peace at all costs. The problem is that when we align ourselves with the wrong people, we make the wrong decisions. We call that collusion. We call that conspiring with others. In this predicament, Pilate journeys into this place of corruption, misusing his power. Did you hear what he said to Jesus? He said, I have the power to release you, and I have the power to crucify you. And Jesus, of course, says, you would have no power unless it was given to you. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about that as well, because God ultimately is in charge. But this was the scene that had to play out. This was the fulfillment of scriptures. From even the place of Jesus not saying a word, we see that referred to in the Psalms and in Isaiah. We see Pilate in this predicament of journeying towards conniving. In other words, sanctioning this dishonesty. Sanctioning a dishonesty. The mock trials. The flogging in hopes that he could pacify the crowd. You see, Pilate had a choice to make. When he was confronted with Jesus, he had a choice to make. Just like you and I, all the time, have choices to make. When confronted with a difficult decision, he was indecisive. He vacillated over and over and over again. And some might refer to that as kind of dancing with the devil. And instead of making the right decision based on what he believed at the start, he acquiesced. The essence of Pilate's predicament, I think, gives us insight into something I think that we all face. It's that little bit of Pilate in all of us. We all have a little bit of Pilate in all of us. And here's what I believe about this. When we don't do what we know we should, when we should, it becomes easier over time to do what we know we shouldn't. When we don't do what we know we should, when we should, it becomes easier over time to do what we know we shouldn't. And when that happens, we pay a price. There's a cost. We pay a price. For Pilate, one of the costs that he paid was the detachment from his conscience. The detachment from his conscience. He's just like, okay, so I'm not going to deal with it in a sense. As a matter of fact, Matthew in his story, telling the story of the scene, actually records Pilate just saying, okay, I'm washing my hands of this. I don't want anything to do with you. It's not my fault. In the story, we read that the Jewish leaders replied, by our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked, where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. Don't you realize I have the power to release you or crucify you? Then Jesus said, you would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above. But Pilate compromised his conscience. I think conscience is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us. Because it's our conscience oftentimes that helps to say, no, 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 don't do that. Or, hey, make the right decision. But I believe because Pilate vacillated, because he went back and forth and back and back and forth, because he wasn't decisive, is that he gave in when he knew what he should do and he didn't do it. I think Pilate also let the cost deter his courage. He let the cost deter his courage. That is an interesting scene in here. Because what happens is that the Jewish leaders actually play what we'd refer to as, the trump card. They play the card that ultimately gets Jesus crucified. Because he says in here, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself to be a king is a rebel against Caesar. And so Pilate is frightened because all of a sudden they've upped the ante, and now he has to do something that he knows that he doesn't need to do. He has to make a decision because they played the card. Now, interestingly enough, when you got to the end of the scene, did you hear what the Jewish leaders said? We have no king except for the emperor. I think there was weeping in heaven because God was always king. When we look at the Old Testament, we actually even see that the Israelites, they cry out to God, and he's like, we want a king like everyone else. And God says to them, you don't need a king, you got me. But that human proclivity that we have to be like everybody else, to have what everybody else has, to want what everybody else has, puts us in really bad places a lot. And ultimately, these Jewish leaders, they deny the divinity and the authority of their God by saying, we don't have any other king except for the emperor. Pilate could have been a man of courage. He could have pulled his pants up, or well, he had a tunic, he could have tightened it up, whatever. And he could have said, no. But he doesn't. He gives in and he gives up. When we have the opportunity to be courageous, what do? When we're tempted to do something that we shouldn't do, when peer pressure comes in, it's like, hey, you wanna go do this? Hey, you wanna go do that? Do we like, no? Or do we give in? Pilate let the cost deter his courage. I think also Pilate let the cost denigrate his competence. He must have been a fairly good leader. 10 years he served in this post. 10 years he maintained the peace of Rome. 10 years he did what kept things going. And yet, little by little, my guess is that his competence began to erode. Our competence always erodes when we do what we shouldn't do, when we should do it. Our competence will erode. Nobody just has a momentary moral failure. It's always the result, I believe, of a degrading competence. Look what happens here. When they said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the stone pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was now about noon on the day of the Passover, and Pilate said to the people, look, here's your king. Here's your king. And then you heard them. Kill him. What happened to all those followers of Jesus that were there kind of just days before when Jesus comes riding in on a donkey and saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's our king. What happened to those people? I think the most important cost that Pilate paid, and I think it's probably the most important cost that you and I pay, when we don't do what we know we should, when we should, over time, doing what we shouldn't, I think the greatest cost, the greatest thing that Pilate paid was his character. his character. Three times Pilate says, I find him not guilty. Pilate says to the people, look, here's your king. And what did they say? Away with him. They yelled it. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate's, what? Crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. The leading priest shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. His character, gone. By not doing what he knew that he should have done, when he should have done it, his character was gone. He compromised his conscience, his courage, his competence, and I wonder, how do we do that? Because I believe there's a little bit of Pilate in us all. But I believe when we make the decision to not do what we know we shouldn't, when we shouldn't do it, we set our course and move towards strength. But when we don't do what we know we shouldn't do, when we shouldn't do it, we set the course for a different kind of trajectory. The point is this. I feel so sorry for Pilate. As a matter of fact, historically, we don't really know what happens to Pilate. Some scholars believe that the emperor had him just sent off. Got to get rid of him. Some believe that the emperor had him killed. Other scholars believe that Pilate committed suicide. We don't really know. But what we do know, I believe, is that his decisions, what he chose to do and what he chose not to do, set him on a trajectory of his life that led to disastrous and destructive places. And I believe the same thing happens to us. When we allow that little bit of Pilate in us, maybe sometimes a whole lot more Pilate in us than we want, to take control. And so here's my call to you. Here's my encouragement to you. Here is my plead to you. It's easy to be like him. Don't. Don't. Don't give in. Don't give up. Stay the course. When you know it's the right thing to do, do it. When you know it's the wrong thing to do, don't do it. Don't vacillate. Don't go back and forth. Don't weigh it. See, as followers of Jesus, we have the Spirit of God residing in us. And I believe one of the main things the Spirit of God does in us is help to lead us and guide us into what's right and righteous and to keep us away from the things that are wrong. And I believe that when we listen to that voice, we live in a place of health. When we ignore that voice, we move down a path towards destruction. And so we have to attune ourselves to hear the voice of God saying, go this way, come here, do this, don't do that. Don't walk that way. Don't dance in that area. Don't vacillate. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Don't stay in it. I think that's what Pilate's ultimate downfall was. From the very first time he meets Jesus in that scene, and he's like, okay, I don't find him guilty. He should have been like, let him go. But he didn't have the courage to do that. And I think the more he went back and forth, the more he got to this place, kind of no return. See, when we don't do what we know we should, when we should, it becomes easier over time to do what we know we shouldn't. Here's what I believe, that courage is the ability to take a stand for Christ and for all that is right when the weight of our opinion can still make a difference. Let me say that again. Courage is the ability to take a stand for Christ and for all that is right when the weight of our opinion can still make a difference. The first time was when Pilate was the strongest, when he said, "I find him not guilty." The second time, he was weaker. The third time, he's at his weakest. And ultimately, he hands Jesus over. And he's crucified. So, what do you do with that Pilate in you? What do you do when you feel drawn or challenged to do what you know you shouldn't? To go where you shouldn't, to say what you shouldn't, to become what you shouldn't. What do you do? If you've been around here very long, you've heard me often say, is that when the voice of God speaks, there's always a dissenting voice. And what we as followers of Jesus have to do is to tune our ears to hear the strongest voice, the voice of God, so that we ultimately won't pay the cost that Pilate had to pay, that selling out his conscience, selling out his courage, selling out his competence, and ultimately selling out his character. So poor Pilate, it's easy to be like him. Don't. 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 Let's pray. Don't. God, it seems like such an easy word. And truth be told, your Spirit gives us the ability to don't. The challenge is, God, that many of us think that we're stronger than we really are. The challenge, I think, God, is that many of us don't really think about the cost. God, I think for many of us, we just think not us. And so, God, I want to pray that you, through the movement of your Holy Spirit in us and through others, would encourage us. That in those moments, in those seasons, in those times, where we feel tempted, drawn, maybe even encouraged by the people around us to pay the price, to sell out, to give in and to give up, to not listen to our conscience, to not move in a place of courage, but really to move in a place of weakness, to give up the competence that we've gained in our relationship with you, or to just sell out through our character. God, please, please help us to be strong. God, I don't know what each person in this room is facing right now, but God, I know that with each one of us in different arenas and settings of our lives, God, we might right now, today, in this moment, be feeling tempted as Pilate was, of not being courageous to do the right thing at the right time. And so God, I pray that you would bring encouragement. I pray that you would bring strength. I pray that you would bring power into these situations and these people's lives, Lord. Your word tells us that we can do all things through you. Your word tells us that we are more than conquerors, that we have victory in you. Oh God, please help us to not be like Pilate, to not give in and give up, but to lean in to you, because you are our hope. You are our promise. You are where we find life. So God, help us to just lean into you, where we are promised from your word that you will do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And we will not hesitate, God, to give you thanks for giving us the victory that we need to continue to run the race, to stay the course, to be strong, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven, and that you might find us faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.